You can be seated. In a couple of weeks, we're going to have a water baptism here. We really need it. We have about 500 people that need to be water baptized. We're going to catch up and start taking care of that. If you have your notes, if you get them out this morning, I'm beginning a series today called Strength Training for Kingdom Reigning. Strength training. That's why we have the dumbbells, the barbells here, and some exercise equipment. Hebrews chapter 5 is the writer, the Holy Spirit, talks about maturity, what maturity looks like and how maturity is arrived at for the believer. He said this, but solid food belongs to those who are full age. So when you're grown up, so God will change your spiritual diet once you've qualified by maturity to be able to handle it. That is those who by reason of use, everybody shout use, okay? It's hexis, a Greek word, a habit, whether mind or body, something you do repeatedly. Have exercised their senses, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The word exercise is the word we get the word gym from. It's gymnazo. Gymnazo means to exercise vigorously. See, mind and body. So the idea of the gym is the place where vigorous physical exercise happened. It goes all the way back to the Roman culture and Greek practice. So the Bible says that maturity comes by using something in exercise. So a couple of points. Whatever you use increases. Whatever you don't use decreases. It's the law of use in the Bible. So any, use it or lose it is a good term for exercise. So no matter how good shape you used to be, when you stopped working out, your muscles took a vacation. And your third cousins, Mr. and Mrs. Fat, moved in. So people that are mature are people, God has not gifted Benny or Kenny or Freddie or my, a person with a healing ministry is a person just like you who's developed their muscle bigger than yours. That's the only difference. Our mistake is thinking people are born muscular. Oh my God. Iverna must have been, just when she was 6 years old, she preached her first sermon. She might have, but like everyone else, her maturity was developed by consistent use of her gifts in her life. By exercise. Well, Pastor, I want to prophesy like you. Then prophesy over 100,000 people. That's how I got here. That's how you can get here. You can't. See, I was with a famous athlete, and the temptation, especially before they knew how bad it was, they were taking hormones, the steroids, to accelerate the muscle process. Well, this guy died, and they all dropped dead. All those bodybuilders that really did that are having heart trouble, kidney failure, liver, all because there's no shortcuts that can keep you healthy. And anything you cheat to get, you can't keep. So, okay, next verse. Philippians 2. Last line, but now much more my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You may have heard a sermon like I have as a minister butchered that by talking about the power of self-righteousness or works, religious efforts, but that's not the emphasis. The commandment is there's something in you that needs to get out of you. Work it out. See, the muscular person standing on the stage, the fit athlete, the dynamic person who's flexing a body, they have the same number of muscles as you and I do. They just worked out what was in. See, destiny is not something you ask God to give you. Destiny is something God asked you to get out of you. You were born with it. Before you were fashioned in your mother's womb, I called you, ordained you, and told you who you'd be. When you came into the world, you were born into destiny. The destiny's in you. Like BJ is saying, greatness is in you. The kingdom is the place. The kingdom is the authority that awakens that predetermined calling. So God wants us strong. So it's God's will for us to be strong. And God has a method to make us strong. It's called family. It's called employees or employers. It's called church people. Okay. John 16:33. Jesus gives in a powerful revelatory declaration, understanding of the battle we're in. Here's what he said. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. Everybody shout peace. Peace. So in the previous chapters, he talks about in me, these words, so you can have joy, fullness of joy. The kingdom of God delivered to us by the word of God allows us to live in the environment of the presence of God, peace and joy and love. Okay, so you can have peace. Then he describes this powerful sentence. In the world, cosmos, the current arrangement of things, how things function now in a fallen world. Okay, governments, the activity of Satan, the activity of men, the activity of nature, in the world itself, the current arrangement of things, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The Greek word for tribulation is thipless, and thipless means pressure. It means to squeeze something until it changes shape. It was used for the presses that would squeeze olives into olive oil or grapes into wine. It means stress, anxiety, adversity, opposition. You can see it. I put it in your notes. So Jesus said, the one constant of the world is pressure. Now, a couple important things. The most powerful weapon hell has against you is pressure. People do more self-defeating things because of pressure than any other reason. So Jesus said, in the world you will face pressure, but in me you can overcome the pressure because I have overcome it. Jesus is in the garden. He sweats tears of blood. He's feeling the most pressure anyone's ever felt. Pressure to fulfill his destiny on the cross. He's thinking, he's asking God, is there any other way to do this? No. So he's surrendering his heart. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He's under great pressure. What? Pressure to find a different way to fulfill his destiny. But he embraces the cross. He embraces his destiny. He embraces our salvation. So in the world, pressure. Every decision you make because of pressure will be a bad decision. Every decision you make because of pressure. Okay. Hebrews 6. Y'all still with me today? Is it the heat or the anointing? I can't tell, you're getting quiet like a bunch of Episcopalians. Verse 12, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience or perseverance inherit the promises. So Abraham, what, got a promise? 25 years later, it was fulfilled. He believed the promise at its inception, but he persevered by endurance to the end. He persevered. So what happens when things are delayed? We feel pressure. What happens when things don't work right? I remember when Mary and I first had our real life crisis come in 1995. And I said to the Lord, I can handle 6 weeks of this. Because it was intense day and night. Every kind of pressure, legal, media, people, financial, criticism, all, just a perfect storm. And so I measured by my own self-evaluation, my capacity, and said, I can handle six weeks of this and I'm going to crack. Six Years later, the storm finally abated. I had no idea of my capacity until I faced a weight I had never had before. See, people run from what they're unfamiliar with, not knowing they have capacity to handle that. And there's something about, especially millennials. Millennials, I love you. I'm here for you. Our whole church is reaching out to you. But you have to learn to stop quitting. You can't quit every job that's not perfect. You can't quit every relationship that's not perfect. You can't quit every church because of this or that. Once you get into a cycle of quitting, you never fulfill your destiny, because you can only fulfill your destiny according to the capacity of pressure you can handle. And the more pressure you can handle, the more destiny you can fulfill. Everybody wants a perfect job or a perfect spouse, perfect church, perfect this, perfect that. That's what heaven is. In the meantime, welcome to the gym. Baby, last year, I was doing good, and last year had some pressure dropped on me with the Church in Iraq deal. It's kind of, interesting, and thousands of churches, some disorganization, just things going on, man. I felt pressure. Y'all with me? And I kept saying to the Lord, "Now, are you sure you want me to do this?" I was all excited until I did it. Then I felt it. Are you sure I can handle this? You with me? That's like the coach saying, "I'm going to put 25 pounds on this barbell on both sides. It's okay, you can do it." Really? I can do it, Jesus. Okay. If you want power, you have to have weight. If you want power, you have to have pressure. Hebrews 10. Do not cast away your confidence. Everybody shout confidence. One of the great Greek words, parousia, which means bold, brave declarations of faith. Unwavering, unhesitating confidence of faith. Speaking boldly, confidently, loudly, blatantly, and publicly. It's when you talk trash to the devil. Devil! My whole family's going to be saved. Woo! Bop, bop. 3 days later, oh my God, my family's crazy. You with me? God likes it when you talk like him. And God likes it when you keep talking powerfully bold and faith-filled. Come on, my first sermon here. We're going to be a 10,000 member church. You've got to be either mentally imbalanced or prophetic to say that. Amen. Hey, this week, 10,000 people go to a CFTN congregation somewhere, including here. Came to pass. 16 campuses, da 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 da. You see, when you say something, it has power. And then the Bible says, don't stop saying it because God's going to reward it. Look at, keep saying it. Why? It has great reward. Everybody shout, great reward. The Hebrew word for reward means to reimburse an employee for expenses paid getting the job done. So God says, when you say things to fulfill your purpose and to accomplish my kingdom, when you say them, I'll reimburse you by doing it. I'll pay the bill. I'll get it done. He'll get it done. Amen? Okay, so keep saying it. Next verse, because it's powerful, it gets even better. For you have need of endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So, God gives me a promise. I'm excited. It creates faith. Revelation creates faith. Faith comes by hearing. But But to get to the promise's fruition, to see it accomplished, to see it done, I need endurance. Hupomone is the Greek word for endurance. It means perseverance. It means to stay in one spot no matter what. It means to take ground and not give it back. It's keeping in their power, staying in their power. It was used for soldiers that were who took ground and wouldn't give it up no matter how much adversity came against them. The early church followed, early church fathers called Hupomone the queen of all virtues. Now this is important because God wants you to get there, and God wants to fulfill his promise to you, and God says the process to get you there is going to make you stronger. Because the thing that the enemy sent against you, this pressure, God has given you the capacity to handle it. He works all things together for good. See, instead of praying, God, take me out of here. Your job. I'm at working in the ITT Courier. I hated it. We're just married in 1979. I kept telling the Lord, I'm called to the ministry. This isn't the ministry. Passing out parts, an electronic company. God, help me, help me, help me. I'm working with sinners. I learned to speak Babylonian, lots of four-letter words. Every day for 6 months, my wife finally said, sweetly, honey, maybe if you change your attitude, God would let you leave. All I heard was the word leave. So I went in my prayer closet, got in there for a couple hours, said, God, what do you want? You know, is there something I'm missing? And he started rebuking me. He said, I sent you to 4,000 people that need me. Ministry isn't a pulpit. Ministry is people. So the next day, I went to work early with the great, and I walked around two big buildings where 2,000 people worked in, and I prayed in tongues and claimed every soul. Every soul. I took dominion. Now, you have to understand, they would make fun of me. We'd have a staff meeting, 50 people in a conference room at a restaurant. The boss would stand up and say, oh, waitress, don't forget a milk for the preacher boy. They tried to make me fall in sin. They did everything to trip me up. And so I'm under so much pressure until I turned the tables. Instead of letting it push me down, I started pushing back. Got the campus drug dealer saved. It was the 70s. I'd have to explain to you what that meant. Everyone knew he was doing it. No one stopped him from doing it. When he got saved, an avalanche of souls. 10 got saved. 20 got saved. 30, 40, 50. Had lunchtime Bible study. I have a church at ITT Courier growing up to 60. I think the most we have was 68 people in a meeting. At lunchtime, they're worried. The president calls me in. He thinks I'm starting a cult. I said, no, all these people will be better workers. Next thing I know, he makes me his assistant. I'm promoted 9 levels into executive management. Everything's shifting, changing. Pressure. When I left a year later, the president, the HR person, and my boss all begged me to stay. You can't leave without getting the victory first. You can, but everything that defeats you here will defeat you there. See, the devil will always let you go to a certain level when he knows you can't handle pressure. And then he'll bombard you until you do something out of character and you start over. And so in the kingdom, God pressure proofs you. The only thing that can defeat you is a deception from the enemy that says you can't handle this. I've been through things I couldn't handle. I didn't think I could handle, but I handled them. I came out better, stronger, more Christ-like, more mature, more able to minister. Everything bad produced something good. So this thing, this pressure, this adversity, God says we need it because your muscles, God, this is a lot of weight here. 50 weights. Come, this is for you, John. Oh. That's a lot of weight. You can't develop what you don't use. Okay, a couple of points. King David has been on the run, but he survived 13 years of pressure. Really 12 and a half years. He's within weeks of fulfilled destiny when he just wakes up one day and says, I can't handle this anymore. And he said, woe be to those who have driven me from my inheritance. Pressure will drive you from your inheritance if you let it. David went from Judea where he was anointed, where he had authority, where even though Saul chased him, Saul couldn't kill him because he had, the devil can't kill you. You have a destiny. The devil can't stop you. You have a prophetic future. That's why you're still alive. So David, he leaves Judea, goes over to the realms of the Philistines, Philistia. He goes over there and becomes a liar and a murderer. Because when you leave your place, you lose your grace. Nobody can make you leave your inheritance. And never let pressure drive you from something God said you could have. Come on, come on, come on. See, if when I talk to pastors, I said, did God call you to this? Yeah, but it's so hard here. Every city's hard. Yeah, but you know, my city's unusually hard. That's what they say when they haven't broken through. That's what they say when they're setting themselves up to leave and give themselves an excuse. But if you don't break through here, what in the world makes you think you break through there? Listen, if you can't break through in your business, my God, don't join the ministry. Because there's much more pressure in this. There's spiritual pressure, spiritual warfare. Weird stuff. Just ask people that came from business in the ministry. Okay? David left his promised land because he believed the lie. Verse 37, Hebrews 10. But a little while. Tell your neighbor you're almost there. Turn the other way and say you're almost there. When you feel the most emotionally exhausted, when you feel the most under siege by discouragement, you are almost always the closest to a dynamic turning point of destiny. You're almost there. Come on, you're almost there. He who is coming will come. What does that mean? Isn't that talking about the rapture? He says the promise keeper, the promise giver is also the promise fulfiller. He's on the way, baby. Keep believing. Aren't you glad Abraham believed all the way to the 25th year? And he got his miracle. Okay, a couple more verses. James chapter 1. Knowing, verse 3, that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Patience produces, is the product of trials, okay, of tribulations. No matter who sends them, no matter how they come, people, angels, demons, God, it doesn't matter how they come. A test is a test, a trial is a trial, a pressure is a pressure. And God says, don't worry about it, stay in it. Storm's coming, the chickens run for cover, the sparrows hide. The eagles say, I'm heading right for that thing because that thing's going to take me higher than I've ever been. I'm going to soar. Message Bible. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open. It shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Don't quit. Come on, don't quit. Pastor, what's the secret of your big breakthrough? Don't quit. I did 10,000 things wrong, one thing right. The one thing right overcame the 10,000 things wrong. Don't quit. Come on, don't quit. Don't give up on yourself, on God, and people, your destiny, your dream, God's promise. Don't give up on your prophetic word. Don't quit. See, David would tell people, God told me this. He would give God the praise. God said this is going to happen. And then when it didn't happen in a certain time, his friends would say, where's your God now? Do you have any family like that? You share your prophecy all excited, and 6 months later, where's your God now, Mr. Big Shot prophesying machine? Where's God? So there's an agony. I was running a race in my senior year of high school, half mile, at I think the Chandler Invitational, like, I don't know, 50, 60 schools, high schools in it, so I'm running. I knew I had the fastest time. I was picked to win this race. But there's a sprinter that came into it, and I didn't know about him, so I'm just wondering. So the race starts, and sure enough, this guy, man, he just started sprinting. It's half a mile, it's two laps around a normal track. He's 100 yards ahead of me after the first lap. Didn't bother me one iota, because I thought either he's an Olympic champion or he's about to hit something I call the wall, baby. And sure enough, he started slowing down. And the last 200 yards of that race, he's barely going forward, and I made a full sprint. And now there's 5,000-6,000 people in the stands cheering for me to catch him. They're cheering. I'm feeling it. I burst past him with 5 feet to go and won the race just as he fell down and fainted. Because he was not prepared for the length of the race. This isn't a sprint. It's a marathon. You with me? Anybody can shine. Everybody married. When you're... How many know this? Anybody can look good on a date on a Saturday night. It's another thing to look good after 35 years of married. I'm so glad my wife still likes me. Warts and all. Last verse, Romans 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we glory, rejoice, Greek word, in tribulation, stiffness, pressure, stress, adversities. Now, but look up here. God's not saying, if you had an older brother and they're twisting your arm, come on, smile. Come on, tell me you like it when I'm hurting you. That's how religion describes it. We just have to smile when God smacks the hell out of us. I said smile. It's better. No. We glory in tribulations because we know something about them. We know that weight produces strength. You have to know that. Or else every time pressure comes, you're like, ah, I'm out of here. Too much pressure. Welcome to man civilization. I want to be in a non-pressure zone. That's called heaven. We rejoice in pressure, knowing that pressure produces hupomone, perseverance. And perseverance produces character, or proven character in the Greek. And proven character produces hope. So the Bible defines a person with Christ-like character as a person that possesses the virtue of perseverance. I know love's important. I'm a lover. I believe in it. I know faith's important. I know the chance. I know. And the Bible says, if you have perseverance, all those other things can be applied. But you can have all those other things and not have perseverance, and they won't work. You can love people, but if you quit every place you go to, you have no character. You with me? Started doing campuses, and you know, people started wanting to take advantage of us because I couldn't write $1 million checks. And if people would just stay for the long haul, you with me? No one knew where I was for almost a decade, living in an airplane hangar, Scottsdale, called a church, and all the while, when no one knew where I was in God's gym, lifting weights. And when I came out of a decade of obscurity, everybody said, where you been, man? Where'd you get that message from? Jim. Those weights, those are heavy weights. They're not heavy anymore. They used to be heavy. Now it's what I work out every day with. When you come out of this season, people in your past are going to say there's something different about you. They're going to notice and discern and experience. You've got some muscles where you didn't used to have them. And God's going to do great things through you. Would you stand your feet, everybody? Tell your neighbor, work it, man, work it. Work it. Work it. God, I thank you. The Bible describes God as the God of all patience. That patience is a part of his being and becomes a part of our DNA as his children. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? I declare over your life, I want every person just honestly, if you've been battling, we talked about people quitting a moment ago, beginning the service. If you say, Pastor, I've been struggling with discouragement, and the enemy is trying to make me quit, something I know I'm not supposed to. If that's you, I want you just to wave your hand at me. I'm going to pray for you, okay? As many of you that want to, that have your hand raised, I'd like you to come down to the altar. If you can't, we'll pray for you there. But I'd like you to kind of push through today and put a peg in the ground and say, today I'm telling the devil I'm not quitting. I'm not leaving my spot. I'm not leaving my inheritance. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. And I'm not going back. We're going to pray for you at this altar, and we're standing with you in agreement that today's a marker day. Today's a breakthrough day for your life. The rest of you, just for a moment, would you just lift your hands to heaven and worship the Lord? If you have high blood pressure or a diagnosed heart condition, I want you to just put your hand on your heart. Or wave your hand at me. High blood pressure or a heart condition. Keep your hands raised. Yeah, wave them at me. If someone has their hand raised, would you slide over to them? I felt like the Lord told me to pray for you right now. If someone has their hand raised, slide over to them and put your hand on their shoulder. We declare healing to your heart, healing to your blood pressure. We command it to normalize in the name of Jesus. We speak grace, life, and healing to you by the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, pray for him. By his stripes we are healed. Oh, wonderful Jesus. So I feel like the Wednesdays for July and August is going to be prophetic services. Just going to really go for it. If you can make it back here, we're just let the Holy Spirit flow here mightily on the Wednesday night. Don't forget tonight's potluck and prayer meeting. It'll be awesome. I love you. You're an awesome church. Have a great week. God bless you. Tell someone Jesus loves them. Oh.